Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back to yet another incredible episode. Now look it, you know I love to talk to my audience. Thank you. You share, you post, you comment, you do all the great things, you follow our guests. And our way of saying thank you is that we come and inspire you every week with something completely different. So you know what? Today, after today's show, you are going to feel cultured. You're going to feel cultured. That's the thought of the day. And you're absolutely going to feel love. So let me introduce you. It's going to sound like I'm ordering some pizza, but Mr. Joe Cortese is in the house. And he is an incredible actor, writer, and producer that me and the 262 crew and the Women's Channel crew got a chance to meet at the Harvest Emmys Gifting Suite last September. And I've been watching his show since. I've been watching it and learning a little bit about this man who's going to share with us today some really interesting things. We're going to talk a little craft, what he's got going on. He just shared pre-show that he's had something for 30 years that is starting to brew, and we'll tap into that as well. So, Joe, thank you for coming on to the Mission Accepted show.
Thank you for inviting me, and hello to everyone out there.
Absolutely. We have a great international audience. So we were talking a little pre-show. You're well known. I was scrolling I was on the IMDb and I had to scroll. And I've been watching your shows. And of course, I was sharing with you that I love the show, Hello Yanni? Is that the name of the movie?
It's called Here's Yanni.
Here's Yanni. That's right. Here's Yanni. Yeah. And sharing with you a line that I really appreciated out of that. Can you share with us a little bit about, for those that don't know you and haven't deep dived like I have, and I'm sure the interesting thing is when I was looking, I'm like, oh, I know that movie. Can you share with us? You've been doing this craft for a little while now.
I've been doing this for a little while. So in a nutshell, here you go. I started acting. I did my first play at 19 years old. I came from Paterson, New Jersey, which was the hood. And, I was a terrible student. I went to 3 high schools in 4 years and we never moved. So I was kind of a disgruntled youth. And Vietnam was in full bloom. I was ready to go in. And then I finally got accepted to a college in Denison, Iowa, where I went and walked into an acting class that was handled. The professor was Al Russo, who was a well-known working Broadway TV and film actor. And I did my first play with him when I played Lenny in Mice of Men. And that's how I started. And then I went to New York and was hanging around, and by circumstances, I ended up becoming the associate fashion editor of GQ, which I was always sort of a fashionable guy. I had a real sense of fashion. I came from a family with a lot of fashion. And, but I did that for a year. And then I had the bug. And I started doing plays. And I came to Hollywood and then came back to New York. And I ended up, after doing a few plays and a few bits and getting into the unions, I did my first lead in a picture. I was 27 or 28, called The Death Collector, with me and Joe Pesci. And then that got me rolling. So when you talk about Here's Yanni, which is one of the reasons I'm here, it was really strange. I had just signed with a manager, and she sends me a film. She says, this is an offer only. I said, okay, great. What is it, film or television? She says, it's the film. I said, cool. She says, it's a short film. I said, what are you, crazy? A short film? I'm in the business 35 years. You're sending me a short film? She said, just read it. I read it. I fall in love with it. It was called Tonight and Every Night. And based on a true story about a Greek diner owner from Asbury Park, New Jersey, who suffers from dementia. But in his dementia, he imagines himself to be a late night talk show host a la Johnny Carson. Hence the Greek title, Here's Yanni. And it was a beautiful story I fell in love with that Christine Iliopoulos, who's the writer-director, I'm in business with a lot of women for some reason. But anyway, we made this short and then we turned it into an independent movie. And we're out now, you know, selling the movie. And it's pretty exciting. We've gotten rave reviews. Mm-hmm. And it's about an important subject matter. And it's really a beautiful love story, you know, so. Which leads to the line that you like, right?
I know. I was watching it, and then, you know, when something heightens, and but I think it's also how it's set, and you're looking at each other, and, you know, and you expect it but don't expect it. And the line that I fell in love with, audience, is beautiful night, beautiful wife, beautiful life. And right. Yeah, just, I mean, for every romantic out there, I mean, that's just, you know. That's
and
the beginning of every
and
life.
Then their life goes to hell because she gets dementia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, well, thank you. It's one of my favorite lines in the movie also.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. So Jersey boy, New York, LA, back to New York. Where are you now?
And I'm in LA.
Yeah.
I've been in LA since 83. But I go to New York a lot. You know, and still love it. I have a lot of family there. I'm blessed to come to have a great family. I have a brother, two sisters, nieces, nephews. My son is actually living in Philadelphia now. He just recently got married, and hopefully I'll be a grandfather soon.
All right. There it is. There it is. Make it happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a little bit. So LA, you know, people know LA, it's movies, it's lights, it's camera, it's action, LA.
Right.
Is it the place that someone must go or needs to go now to really, you know, they're like, if you're going to make it in this industry, you better get yourself to, you know, to good old California and get to LA and start it.
I think, I don't think it's absolutely necessary, but it's a good starting point, you know, to get here and to understand this business, the entertainment business, which is a very crazy business. So yeah, I enjoy living here. You know, I have most of my friends are from the East Coast, but I've been here for a long time, and I love living here, to be honest. Like I said, but yeah, to start off, yeah, I think it's a good starting point.
Things obviously have changed. Well, look, we're up here in, you know, we're up here in Vancouver in Canada and Hollywood North, right? And so we have this, you know, beautiful relationship with California.
I've worked in Canada so many times, you know, and mostly in Toronto, Vancouver, mm-hmm. and Montreal. I did a mm-hmm. series in Montreal with Billy Friedkin called The Cat Squad.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I happen to love Canada, and yeah. I have to say that the Canadian people are just fabulous, really warm, and a lot of great comics come from Canada. You know, almost every comic is from Canada.
Well, we shared earlier pre-show that I studied brain health and taught brain health for many, many years, and I can tell you, like, you know, hand up for those of you that are not watching and listening, my hand's up. I watch comedy, when I say every night, I mean every night before I go to bed, because it cleans the brain of the day. And so, you know, I go down to brain health, but why I do that, but it just really cleans, and, you know, that internal laugh changes everything. But, you know, you've got Russell Peters. I mean, I swear.
No, last night I watched the Tom Brady roast a second
time. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is hilarious.
I know. It's a great way to end the day, right?
And I agree with you. I like to end my night with comedy. You know? And that's what they should be doing, like Johnny Carson did. You know, he didn't talk about anything, any world events. He just focused on, let's end the day with a laugh.
I used to watch, so this was my formula. So I changed this formula, but back when Johnny was alive and kicking, because I'm a late night fan. I mean, I'm a late night dedicated fan. So I would watch the news, and then I knew enough brain health. I would watch Johnny to kind of wash the, wash that out of my head. But I loved Johnny Carson. I mean, my goodness. There's just so many great late night hosts. It's a
Yeah, Jay Leno, Dave, whatchamacallit?
Dave Letterman.
Yeah, they were great. They're great. And these
Absolutely.
guys now are all great too.
I know.
They're, you know.
It's a good way to get through life. So before we move on, because I really want to talk about some of the things that you have coming up. You've had a vast career. I mean, absolutely. When I look at the movies and I look at your co-stars and I look at some of the content and I watch some of that, you've had a vast career. And you must get asked this a thousand times, but obviously there's been a lot of changes from when maybe you first broke into the industry. I love how you said, by somehow circumstance, you ended up, with GQ. First of all, yay to fashion. I'm wearing a fashion designer shirt today, which happens to be my son. So I gotta, I don't have to wear it. I want to wear it. But what would you say, just notably, is it still who you know? Is it still get yourself down to LA and start knocking on doors? Is it get a good agent? And if it's not working, don't be afraid to change an agent. Like, is it the same or?
It's all of that, and you know, I have been asked that question a lot of times, and my answer to it is, yeah, you got to do all the work, you got to do all the networking, you've got to you have to first of all know your craft, you know. So I mean, I came from the stage, started off a stage actor, and then then went into film and TV. But there's one element to becoming a successful actor, which I it's going to sound crazy, but you have to have a little bit of luck. Anybody who tells you that you don't have to, you know, you can just do it on pure talent, because I know a lot of talented actors out there that just can't get work. And, you know, I've been somewhat fortunate, you know. I mean, I don't feel like anybody really knows me, but, you know, I've been fortunate enough to work and on some good projects, meaningful stuff, a lot of independence. You know, some studio movies, and I did a slew of TV pilots in the 80s and 90s. But yeah, you have to have thick skin, that's for sure. Yeah, and you know, knowing someone, nepotism, you know, all of that is in play.
That seems to be across the board. Just some of that just doesn't change. Like some of that just doesn't change. Just getting out there and when you say luck, I hear often that particularly in the entertainment industry, you'll hear the word luck come up a little more than other sectors. It's like I just happened to be standing at the right place at the right time. I got invited to this event.
Yeah.
I was in the bathroom and they were there. And there seems to be a lot of those stories versus other sectors of business.
Yeah, no, I was standing in a nightclub in 1970, 71, and this guy walks up to me and says, "Hey, man, I like the way you're dressed." I said, "Oh." He said, "Where'd you get those pants and that shirt?" I said, "Well, I designed these pants, and he was the fashion editor for GQ." And he said to me, "You want to be, you want a job as a model? I'm shooting." I said, "Look, man, I'm not a model. I'm an actor." He said, "I'll pay you $150 a day." I said, "Okay, I'm a model." So he says, "Show up at Maxwell Plum next Wednesday at 10 o'clock, whatever, and bring a couple of changes." So I go there, right? And, you know, I'm a background model. I'm just 22 years old. And the photographer was very famous photographer named Francesco Scrivullo. And he says, "Who's that guy? All right, bring him up front. Let's put him here." And, you know, from that, I became the associate fashion editor because they were looking for a guy. And so, yes, being at the right place at the right time, you know, a lot of that, you know, a lot of that, you know. It's like you really, I don't think you can really teach anybody to act. Actors are born. That's my belief anyway. So I was fortunate enough to have a couple of those situations occur in my life.
Wow, very cool. So this project, there's a couple of them that are brewing. Interesting that you're going from doing a movie where dementia was part of it, and
Right.
now you just got off the phone talking to someone about something in relationship to Alzheimer's. I mean, there's a very interdependent relationship between those two topics. But tell us what's on the
Yeah, I
horizon.
just got off the phone with a director that I had lunch with Saturday, and he presented this project to me called Look in My Eyes, and it's about vignettes. There's five different vignettes, and one of them is with, I don't know if I could say this, but it's with a guy named, the character's name is Anthony Pelicano, who's a well-known Hollywood fixer. And he had a son that he had six or seven kids. One of them was severely autistic that had to be put in a home, and he had to be strapped on because he got violent, you know. And again, autism, I don't know a lot about, but it's, you know, in the news every day now, and as is dementia. So I'm doing all these disease movies, but they're meaningful. And that's what entices me to want to do it. But, you know, it turns out that he has a 40-year-old son that has autism. But when you mention his name, you sort of time to be in this Hollywood fixer who went to prison for 17 years. And this is the other side of his life, you know. And it's a beautiful story. So, yeah, I'm excited about this project. It's a, you know, small independent movie, but something I think that could be important.
And I think that we were, you know, when we talk about, we were talking about love and what love
Yeah.
there is in life. And I think that meaning to our work, meaning to the message, meaning starts to really become a bigger piece. I don't know about you, but the
For
truth,
me
running
too,
through my
yeah.
life, doing the, you know, taking care
Yeah,
of some kids, taking care of some business. And then I feel I've always been mission-based, and it sounds like you've always had a good sense of self as well. But there's things that when it starts to, you know, that you've got the ability to help put more eyes on something that you can show the other side to or radiate.
right, that lights my fire, you know, a little
Yeah.
bit. I mean, look, you know, there's all kinds of different movies out there, you know. I find that the independent movies are kind of more interesting. And in the last couple of years, I've gotten to do stuff that was meaningful for me. Like at the beginning of the year, I did Death of a Salesman on stage with Frances Fisher playing my wife, Linda. And it was something I always wanted to do. I was like, I remember I was 8, maybe 9 years old. I was sitting next to my dad in Paterson, New Jersey, looking at a 19-inch black and white Emerson, watching Playhouse 90, and I was watching Lee J. Cobb as Willie Loman, and I was absolutely mesmerized, and it stuck in my brain. And you know, I got to play that part, so that's
That's
cool, you know.
very cool. That's a nice thread bow.
And then this the Yanni project is, you know, I think it brings light to people about what this disease really is and how it affects everyone around them. And maybe, you know, we'll teach somebody something or absolutely put more eyeballs on it, you know? So,
Absolutely. That's
yeah.
awesome. So this movie that you were talking about, that this gentleman's son has autism,
He's
right?
severely autistic, yeah.
Severely autistic. Are you allowed to tell us what role you'd be playing? Would you be playing him, or are you playing part of the, right?
No, I play the father
Ah,
of the
ah,
boy, and the true story. It's based on a true story. One of the vignettes is this character, Anthony Pelicano, who has got this kind of reputation of being a tough guy, tough exterior, and He was the Hollywood fixer, you know, but he wouldn't rat. He went to prison because he wouldn't rat out anyone, you know, and ended up doing a lot of time in prison.
That's going to be a
So,
very interesting dynamic.
yeah, I think so, you know. It opens on the day he gets out of prison and he goes to see his son. Yeah. So that's cool. And then I've been working on a project that when I was in Italy the first time, one of my first movies in Italy was a studio picture called Monsignor at Fox with me and Chris Reeve and Jason Miller. And I was with my girlfriend. I had a couple of days off and I went to Naples and I was sitting in this restaurant called the California. And I heard these guys talking about this story about Lucky Luciano, how he helped the Allies win the Second World War. And I was listening, and you know, they kind of waved over to me. I was like in the papers, and we started talking. And I listened to the story that went that our government would never go and let this guy out of prison to go to Italy to meet with the Doncic to help with the landing in Sicily. And they went, oh, yeah. And so I found it really interesting. And then when I came back to New York, I was living in New York. You know, I started to do some research and actually got my hands on the Herlin report, and there it was. So I started to develop the story, and you know, I've been working on it many years. I've had people option it twice, and now I think I'm getting closer to getting it made. You know, it's an epic gangster movie called Charlie Lucky, The Real American Godfather, because Luciano was the guy who started it all. So I think it's a real interesting piece.
That will be amazing. That
Yeah.
will be amazing.
All I have to do is get the money.
Well, I think there's a few people out there with some projects that are feeling the same way, right?
Oh yeah.
But you know what? Let's divert a little bit for people that are not familiar with that piece of it,
What's
right?
that?
There's people that have projects that put together. How, particularly independents, how are movies funded?
Well, I mean, there's the studio pictures, right? They got all the cash. And then there's the independent world, you know? And, you know, I worked with a couple of independent directors like Abel Ferrara and Tony Kaye. And so that's how they're funded, you know? It seems to me lately, or some of the more interesting pictures are made independently. Because the studio has, you know, they have to make commercial movies that make money, and so do the independents, but they're kind of more interested in the movie than the box office. So that's why they're more interested in pictures, I think.
So they put a pitch together, they put a package together,
To
they
get a
take it to
movie
people
made
that
is a miracle. It's right next to becoming a miracle. I mean, it's very difficult. You have to be tenacious and you can never give up. You know? I did a podcast with Chaz Palminteri, who's an old friend of mine, great guy, great actor, great writer. And he said, Joe, you know, you've had a lot of ups and downs like people in the industry. He said, but you never gave up. He said, why? I said, I didn't know how. It's like if you love something, right? You never want to let it go.
No, that's
Even with
beautiful.
a relationship, right? If you're in love with something or someone, you know, you hang on to that for as long as you can. Usually doesn't work out too long in a relationship for me, but you know, I give it a try.
It a try and try again. You know, we
Yeah,
always
yeah.
learn. We always learn. I'm sure your career has been filled with learnings. Is there something that you have learned that's impacted you with this lifelong relationship of theater and film and being in this incredible? You say it's a crazy industry and everyone isn't what it isn't who's in it agrees. I think I've heard that many times across the stage.
Yeah, it's you know, it's Al Pacino once told me when I met him, prepare to be disappointed. So it's a movie of highs and lows. When it's working for you, it's the most exciting business in the world, no question. The music business or the film business, entertainment business is very exciting. And that's what maybe a lot of people see. They don't see the other side, which is a lot of hard work and a lot of disappointment. And you gotta have tough skin for sure.
Tenacity. Kind of
Tenacity.
before, yeah, tenacity, right?
Yeah.
Before we wrap up a little bit, when we were at the Emmys event and we were talking and asked you for a quote that we're going to be putting in this beautiful book that we'll have there next year, it's funny because you said the same thing today. It was really about love.
Yeah,
Like that's
I
kind of where
love
I'm
love.
hanging right now. So maybe let's end off a little bit on where you're hanging. What I mean, it's not a, it's an interesting question to say, hey, there's this thing called love. Where are you at with it? But
Yeah, I think what the quote was, life is about love and not much more. Because whatever you have in life, whether you're rich or you're poor or whatever your circumstances, love is the most important thing. If you don't have that in your life, and when I say love, I don't just mean having a wife or a woman that you're in a relationship. I mean love for mankind. I kind of pride myself in trying to help the underprivileged. And as I've gotten older, I've become, passion is really compassion. So I've learned to have compassion much more. And I want to help people. I want to help people and whatever they need, and it's a great feeling. I have a son that I'm very close with, and I love him to death. And I have brother and sisters and friends that I really I love them. I cherish the relationships. And it's the best feeling, I think, in life. Look, it would feel great to win a Golden Globe, say. But if you don't have love in your life, what good is it? It's not as fulfilling, I don't think so. I don't
No,
think.
I would absolutely agree with you, and I think there's been many conversations. I always say those are kitchen conversations. There's the living room, and you're at the event, and then I always say I tend to hang out in the kitchen. There's these kitchen conversations about
I like that.
that exact thing. It's really true. It's like in the kitchen. It's like, what's ha so? How are you doing? Is the living room, right?
Yeah.
And the kitchen is what's going on, and.
I can roll with that. Yeah.
I think so. And it really is that piece about whatever craft that you're in or whatever accolades, like if you're that part of sharing that information or sharing that moment, right? It really comes down to moments, right? Sharing that moment or having that call, or I believe that, and I really love what you just said. I'm going to take that to heart about passion converts really into compassion,
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
that I think that's a
I mean, for me, that's the way I feel. You walk out of a movie and you go, wow, I love that movie.
yeah.
Because it made you feel something, and it's kind of mercurial in a way. You know what I mean? Love is a feeling. It's a good feeling, I mean, I love to love.
I'm with it. It's like double down on that. I love to love. I love to have that feeling. I love to feel it. I love to even see it. And even in the
Yeah.
cast movies, when you talk about like, so one of the favorite things that I love to do is, because I'm sure you've had the same thing, but like, oh my goodness, like, do you ever get time for yourself? You do so much. You're active. You're living life. And I'm like, there's things that I do that no one knows that I don't post about. And one of them is going to movies by myself. I mean, I love getting lost. Okay, if you ever go to a movie theater and there's some chick on the top right hand or left hand corner on the very, like, that's me. And I'm like, and I love getting lost in someone else's world. I mean, And I'll sit there and I'll be like crying by myself or what have you. And I will go to a movie over and over and over again. I have to say that I went and saw, the Dylan movie 4 times before they took it off the screen. But every time I go back, and then of course now it's three. So, but when I watch it, I get lost in it, but I always see something different. I'm like, I didn't see that before. I'm one of those people that's really where I find a lot of peace for myself.
That's what's great about the cinema. You
Yeah.
know, to go into a place for 2 hours plus or whatever, you're in a dark room with a couple hundred other people, maybe, and it's a great experience, you know, as opposed to sitting home and watching it on your 80-inch television,
I
you
know.
know. To me, it's still television. Television's television, and film is something different, you know. So I hope people start going back to the movies. You saw Yanni, right? When you
Yes.
saw, what kind of feeling did you walk out with?
Well, I mean, for me, I always call it it's like a quiet smile on the inside. Like I left feeling like I had this quiet smile on the inside. Like for me, that movie was what I would call more for me like poetry. You know, when you read poetry and you get really lost and it's a beautiful and it just continues to be beautiful in different ways, like as you go through a poem and it was so real and so life. And you're also talking to someone who spent a lot of years in the world of brain health. And so it hits different things for different people, I'm sure, where, I would go see, that movie and for me it felt poetic. And then I would, if I was to describe, obviously when I went and saw Dylan, it was just I almost felt like I was being let in on a secret. It just how they, how they and then learning about the movie, how they set up where he lived and how he thought. And it seemed like there was some let into his personality that I had not ever heard about or read about or seen about, right? And so I felt like it was pieces of beauty. Just I don't know how to explain it. I mean, when it comes to music or it comes to film or it comes to creativity, I have a whole different way. I get very lost very quickly and it takes me on a journey.
That's why music's so important. It takes you out of wherever your head's taking you, and you listen to a great piece of music. It's, you know,
There's a
it's like
poster behind
one of the
me.
people described, interestingly enough, we're at a festival, and this woman came up to me and said, "You know, I love
Ronnie
this movie.
Lorenzo.
I love this movie. I love this movie." And she said, the description was, she says, I have like a tear. It's sad. I had a tear in my eye, but I also had a smile on my face," which I thought was an interesting description of this movie, you know?
Yeah, it evokes for sure.
Yeah.
It prompts us to think different. It's I think it's and the thing that we're going to encourage people, I think we should really end on a positive note in relationship to get up. I'll say it. I'm like, get up and go to the concert. Get out of your house and go to the theater. Get out of your house and go to the museum. Get out of your house. It's a because we've been
At
having this.
any age, whether you're
Yes.
8 or 80, you know,
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Absolutely.
just a different experience, and people have to know that, you know, it's a different experience to walk into the cinema and see a movie. I mean, you know,
Well,
I
and
most of
it's
the time I see movies, I see them in the theater.
Well, and it supports a whole different form of economy as well.
That's for
Supports a
sure.
whole different form of economy. Like when they're looking to, put money into a show, how many times it's been seen? Like, and I get it, you can count it when it's on a stream and all that, but there's something really, I think, encouraging for investors when they see people actually get up and go. Like ticket sales at the box office is a piece of data that's impressive.
100%, 100%. Yeah.
All right.
And there's there's a lot of really good movies coming out now. I've seen a few. One battle after another I just recently saw. It's really good. And That's what excites me. That's why I do this.
Absolutely.
Something I love to do.
Well, Joe,
Could I
why
have
don't we
been a
leave?
stockbroker or a lawyer?
Well, you know what? You'd be a well-dressed stockbroker, and someone would have come up and said to you, "I want you to model for me." And you'd be like, and you'd have been like, "I thought my life was a stockbroker." And all of a sudden it went and modeled and it took me in a whole completely different direction.
Yeah, no, it absolutely did. I mean, I was bitten at 19 years old. I went into my first acting class, and I started doing. I did Of Mice and Men. When I
Oh.
reflect back on that, wow, that was over 50 years ago. So I've been doing it a while. I'm starting to get the hang of it.
Let's not to give too much away. I appreciate your time today. I am looking forward to when we have another conversation, which will be on the summit in May. And I am hoping to hear that someone was like, "What's that movie you've been working on for 30 years? What's this lucky guy?" And it's interesting because my mother's name is Lucky. So, born Lucky, and her father was a sailor from Australia whose name was Lucky. So, maybe this is going to rub off. Maybe there's going to be something very special about this episode. Someone's going to see it and pick it up. And we're going to, and by the time we talk in a few months on the next round, you're going to be like, "Guess what?" And I'm like, "What?" Yeah,
Yeah,
something shifted in the energy that day.
anything is possible if you believe it. You have to believe it with all your heart,
Oh, you heard.
and then it just manifests itself, or it doesn't. But
Or it
anyway,
does on someone else's time, not our time.
better, yeah.
Yeah, that's a bugger.
Anyway,
That's
what do you
a
have
bugger.
to? What do you have on your wrist? Is that a tattoo?
Oh, so you know what's interesting? So this tattoo in particular, I love tattoos. I think they're very creative and art, depending. It's important what you put on your body has energy. But my son is an artist. And he did the 12 episodes for a TV reality show. So he did all the thumbnails, and it's a TV reality show that shows that 30% of all people that get tattoos do it to heal emotional or physical scarring. And so each episode is about, like, one's about PTSD for vets, one's breast cancer, one's,
Interesting.
highlights the recovery of suicide. And there's all sorts of kind of, traumatic things that people have experienced. And he said to me when he was younger, he goes, "I want to get a tattoo." He was young. And I said, "Okay, look it. I promise you, when you're 19, you're going to wait till you're 19, we will research the artist." Now, someone who did artwork on me, who's, I mean, he studied with Ed Hardy. He's one of the most proficient. He's one of the 10 top tattoo artists in the world. His name is the Dutchman, John from the Dutchman. And my son just met him 2 weekends ago, and my son's face went white. I was like, "John," and he was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you." But I said to him, "We're going to research." Now, John was out of town when it came time for Ocean to do it. Ocean researched because he loves Japanese art. That's the style that he did for the TV episodes because it's tattoo style and symbolic. So we found somebody, and when you put my wave and my son's wave together like this, it turn his wave goes this way, my wave goes this way, and it turns into a heart.
Cool.
I know. So, to say the least, my son. So he's an artist. He had a koi put here because he's designed. And when we see you in March, you'll see some of his clothing and design. And then, if you know Japanese folklore, the koi, if it gets past the drums of the demons, so our drums of the demons, if you make your way past the drums of the demons, then the koi converts into a golden dragon, which means once you've been able to, there's lots of demons out there, and a lot of times they live in our head. So when Ocean, my son, did the hat for the Oscars, and I'll save one for you, he made a golden dragon pin to go on to the Oscars because he's like, you just don't, when you're making life. When you're
What is your
making
son's name again?
Ocean Baker.
Ocean.
Ocean, yeah. So I was an ocean
Interesting.
swimmer, and my ex-husband was a surfer, and my son rips it up. He's a surfer as well. So good name for him, because if he didn't like water, I'd have been in trouble. But Ocean Kennedy Blue. I gave him Kennedy. I said Ocean, and then Kennedy if he ever decides to go into banking, and Blue if he goes into music. So Ocean Kennedy Blue.
Cool.
There it is, but we'll give that to you. But that's what that's about. So, yeah.
Wow. It's been nice chatting with you.
I know, it's been lovely chatting with you. And I can't wait to chat again and see where things go from here. Love,
Yeah.
compassion, movies, theater, get to the theater, go see the show. Go
Follow,
see the show.
follow,
How about that? Let's
follow your
wrap this
dreams.
show with go see the show. Go see the
I
show.
agree.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us today. Now I have a final question. And it's going
Okay.
to be, it's kind of in the same field. Normally, when I talk to people and I ask them this question, they're like, I don't even know how to answer it. And I know it's not an easy question. But look, I can ask you the same thing tomorrow if you want a different answer. You're on your way to a desert island. It's you and you. You got this suitcase and you've got room for one album. Now, on this desert island, there's a record player.
One vinyl.
You can only take one album. What album or song or artist could you not imagine ever not listening to again?
So you're talking about a vinyl, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it can
Yeah,
be,
right.
vinyls, yeah. Of course, I'm a vinyl girl, so.
You know,
But
the first, you know, I, the first, my instinct immediately said the White Album. But I don't know if that's commercially
No,
been
that's perfect. The
imprinted in
Beatles, the
my
White
head.
Album?
Yeah, the
Yeah.
Beatles, White Album, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a story just because I said we're finished, but give me 2 seconds. So, this is a 1967 Janis Joplin poster from San Francisco, and right underneath is Janis, and that's my girl. And the first rec two records that I put onto my record player was I went and snuck them out of the, we're a family of vinyls. So I went to my mom's vinyl collection and I took them and I put them in my room and I put them on my record player. One was Janis Joplin Pearl, and I'll never forget the moment. And the other one was the White Album. So funny that
Really?
you would say that.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I
Wow.
was 16 or 17. I don't know how long she had them, but yeah,
Wow.
absolutely.
That's very interesting. Yeah,
Very
cool.
interesting. Well, Mr. Cortez, it's been a real pleasure spending some time with you today, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
The pleasure's mine.
All
Thank you
right.
so much.
With that, it's a wrap. And audience, I say the same thing to you always. You be well, and you stay groovy, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and love, sister.